Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, Canada's first online financial news and research service, providing insider news and knowledge to investors. His website, CanadianInsider.com, home of the Canadian Insider Club. Welcome back to the show, Ted.
Jim, thanks for having me back, and thanks for everyone tuning in. And wow, what interesting times in financial markets we're in.
Yes, now there seem to be two competing narratives going on right now. One, oh, inflation's peaked, it's about to just fade away. The other, oh no, it's around for a long time. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's exactly the way I would look at it, Jim. I think like that's the multi-trillion dollar question facing investors. And basically, I think you've got the inflation has peaked crowd being led by Kathy Wood, who runs the ARC Innovation Fund, which had done really well up until about a year or so ago, and then it's come roaring, basically roaring back to where it was, I think, even before the pandemic started in terms of its unit value. So, but she's been out with a few other people talking about, well, you know, basically, inflation has peaked. The U.S. economy is rolling over. Consumer sentiment is falling. Inflation, you know, cannot really move much higher from here, and that is going to benefit sort of longer term growth stocks and bonds and the like. So, and she's supported, or you know, I wouldn't say supported, but there's she's not the only one in that narrative as well. We heard from George Goncalves from the MUFG investment bank firm on Inc. Ultra Money on May 25th. Lay out his case for more or less peaking inflation and stronger bond and stronger bond prices, lower bond yields. People can check that out on Inc. Ultra Money, Canadian Insider for free. It's on the Real Vision Daily Briefing on May 25th. So, you know, if you're looking for kind of the, you know, an articulate, forceful explanation of that view. However, there's an alternative view, and that view is, I would say, is being supported or promoted, articulated by Tony Greer, which is, you know, he was on the Real Vision Daily Briefing today, though they were recording this on Thursday, on May 26th, saying, no, commodities are moving, are likely to move higher than lower due to supply constraints, and you can talk about falling demand all you want, but the unfortunate state of the world is we just don't have enough commodity suppliers available, especially as policymakers are, you know, plowing ahead on the green transition. And he's got a very interesting chart, which I more or less think sums it up. And you can, if you watch the Real Vision Daily Briefing on Inc. Ultra Money or Canadian Insider today, you'll see it, where he plots the Bloomberg Commodity Index against five-year inflation expectations, and lately they've diverged quite a bit. And so one of those has to give. So either commodities have to come crashing down, or inflation expectations have to go moving back up. So his view is that it's going to be inflation expectations move back up, Kathy Wood's view is, no, commodity prices are probably going to head back down. So we will have to see who wins that debate. But that brings us to Jim, the insiders, what they're signaling. And we had a very surprising turn of events on the weekend when we looked at our Canadian sentiment indicator for the Canadian market, and it has shot up. And insiders have been buying the commodity stock pullback. And it shot up so much that we had to upgrade the Canadian market. And I said, had to. I mean, the numbers were just too strong, back to undervalued from fair valued. And the sell-off, insiders were buying the sell-off. And if you want a copy of that report, you can get it under my video preview from Monday on our Discord, the VivaVille Discord channel. You can get an invite at the bottom of any Canadian Insider page, Inc. Research page, the subscription page. We have an invite link there. It's also in my Twitter feed. But so you can get a copy of that report for free. Just go underneath my video preview for Monday. And this really surprised us. So on balance, I would say Canadian insiders are supporting the Greer view that, you know, commodity prices are firm and are here to stay. So, you know, in terms of how we, and how we look at, we're looking at things, we're more sympathetic, based off of insider sentiment to the, in Canada, and to the inflation is going to be sticky and is going to be here, and the opportunities in the Canadian market are going to remain. So it's been a positive, a surprising development. That being said, there is lots of volatility. That is not going away because the Federal Reserve is taking away its support for markets like they had for the past 10 years. And, you know, that is just something investors are going to have to get used to one way or another. I mean, the alternative is to sit on the sidelines with cash and pick your spots. And that, you know, that's, you know, in that case, you are kind of having to deal with the inflationary environment. You're kind of betting you can ride that out and it's not going to be that big of a deal. But, it's easier to sleep at night, than some of these volatile moves we've seen in the market. So everyone has to make their own decision in terms of their risk tolerance and what they're comfortable, what kind of risks they're comfortable with. So, but in Canada, Canadian insiders are upbeat and, they like this pullback. They really did.
Now, have you changed your position on Canadian stocks and the energy sector?
Well, the energy sector, yes, that's been leading the charge too, and we were surprised. And, you know, the pullback in energy and insiders are buying. So, you know, we have, based off of our signals, and, you know, they're not infallible, our energy indicator is one of our more reliable indicators, I would say, of all, you know, the insiders are very active and, you know, that it's a very cyclical business and, but they tend to be very active and they were buying the dips here. So, you know, this is the mirror image of a decade ago where you had, you know, passive investors in the United States buying the dip. Well, here you've got Canadian insiders buying the resource dip. So, we tend to believe that that this commodities resource driven rally has some ways to go. And, you know, we could be wrong. We'll have to be humble about our, you know, confidence levels. But, based on all we can go by is what we're tracking and, you know, and then hearing the compelling cases we hear from people like Tony Greer and Kathy Wood and, you know, trying to stay emotionally detached. I know that a lot of people have strong feelings about some of these individuals in the market, but you know, it's important to step aside and listen to their arguments, you know, and really do a reality check on your perspective. But you know, from what we see on Insiders Canada, it's, you know, it's upbeat, and interestingly enough, we've also seen some interesting developments in the U.S. market.
We'll have more with Ted Dixon right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap, with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Ted Dixon. Ted, what's going on with the U.S. market to fair valued among industrials and consumer cyclicals?
Right. Well, on Monday, we upgraded the Canadian market, and we found ourselves on Wednesday upgrading the U.S. market. Now, the one of the major differences is that the U.S. market has been at an overvalued type of a situation based off of insider signals. You know, and I think a lot of that is due to the multi-year stimulus from the Fed, you know, that drove valuations up and up and up and up. And so it's been hard over the past few years to get any kind of sense of value. We've had little, we have had some periods where we've seen it, but not, it's been very rare. Yeah, so on Wednesday, our U.S. indicator moved up to a level where we could upgrade the U.S. market to a fair valued. And you can get a copy of that also under my Wednesday video preview in our Discord channel. And interestingly enough, it's been some of the economic sectors that have led the charge. And that includes industrials and consumer cyclicals. Now, part of the consumer cyclical move was because some of these stocks had been hit so hard over the past few weeks with, you know, some big earnings earnings and announcements, you know, Walmart and Target, for example, you know, it's made the stocks cheaper. So that has helped. But in general, U.S. insiders are selectively buying the dips, but we're not, this is not a broad bullish call in that, you know, one has to remember that stocks can still become undervalued, and that means their prices can still go lower. So I think the U.S. market, it's actually a little bit riskier than the Canadian market right now if you believe the inflation story is going to stick. So if you don't believe the inflation story is going to stick, if you're sympathetic to the Cathie Wood camp, then it's a different ballgame. But based off of what we're seeing in the U.S. market and the Canadian market, we're leaning towards the inflation camp. And I'll give you another example. This is really important for those following the U.S. market. And ironically, we're going to look at, there's a Canadian company we wrote about on Thursday, which again, you can find the report in the Discord channel for free. And that is in relation to private sector lending. This is a private sector lender we wrote about. And on May 12th, they reaffirmed their outlook for 2022 based on favorable lending and demand and approval trends in both the secured and unsecured areas of the markets that they serve. Now, this is only one company, but it does go to support the pro-inflation camp that the environment for lenders that can take advantage of higher interest rates, you know, will benefit. And also on Wednesday, there was a really good discussion on Blockworks on the Forward Guidance podcast, which is available for free on Canadian Insider, where Joseph Wang, at the end of the segment, he's a former Fed trader, explained his view how interest rate hikes in the U.S. could be pro-inflationary, because they would stimulate financial firms in the U.S. to lend more money, because it is more profitable for them to learn to lend money. And what we saw from this company that we wrote about on Thursday was confirming that sort of thought, or at least supporting it. Okay, so there's no guarantees here. I don't want to say that this is like a baked in the cake scenario, but one has to weigh the evidence of all these different arguments. And so there's been a big move in the bond market lower here. I know this has got a lot of people cheering, a lot of bond bulls cheering that you see rates have peaked. Now we're going back to the good old days of low inflation, blah, 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 and deflation's coming, and everybody with debt's going to get wiped out, blah, blah, blah. I hear that all the time, and maybe that will happen. But I don't think that's the most likely scenario, because I think that we've basically got a situation where the Fed has talked a really tough game. They've got the market to do a lot of the heavy lifting for it. The Fed is probably going to hike rates two more times. And then what are we faced with, Jim? We're faced with midterm elections in the fall, and I think there's a really good bet that the Fed is going to sit on its hands until at least those elections get out of the way. So you're not going to have a rate hike, I doubt it, in September unless they're really forced to do it. And, you know, I think they're going to accept a little bit of extra inflation in the system. And we'll see where that leaves all the bond bulls, you know, whether they're still willing to accept sub 3% on the 30-year. Maybe they are as crash protection. You know, we'll have to see. Certainly, predicting interest rate moves in the bond market is a very tough game, and it's not a game I'm particularly skilled at. So we will just have to see how that plays out. But I think that based off of what we're seeing and what insiders are seeing, biases towards inflation, can you square that with a continued rally in the bond market and lower bond yields? You know, we will have to see.
What might determine whether inflation remains high over the next year, year and a half?
Well, I think, you know, you've got a couple of key things, and that is supply. And let's face it, everyone listening to this interview is familiar with the Canadian resource market and how hard it is to bring a mine on. And you've got policymakers in this dream world in the U.S. and Europe that they're going to move to an energy transition. Well, how? With what? You know, like, where are you going to get the lithium from? Where are you getting all this copper from? Where are you getting all the cobalt from? Is everything going to be powered by solar and wind? Are we going to have boats in the ocean powered by solar panels? Like, there's a complete disconnect from reality. I mean, countries that know what's going on are countries like India that are like, at Glasgow said, you know, this idea about stopping coal, you know, it's all nice in theory, but I don't think so. Because, like, I'm sorry, but we have to, like, you know, heat our homes and power our plants and, you know, like, where are we going to get the energy from? Like, it's just not there. And so you've got countries like India that are like realists. And then you've got countries like the EU and the United States under the current administration that are completely, completely detached from reality. So it's, you know, I don't see the supply side helping out the inflation cause. So that leaves the demand side. Now, if you have a global recession, America goes into recession, EU goes into recession. You know, China's been struggling, although I haven't seen commodity prices collapse, despite all the bad news we've heard of China. Maybe that shoe's about to drop, but, it all depends on, is going to depend then on demand destruction. Well, let's get back to lending. If this company we wrote about today is onto something, and it's just one data point, so it's not enough to build a whole thesis over, but if the Joseph Wang theory is right, that we're going to see more lending pickup in the United States, well, what does that mean? That means bigger money supply growth, because, you know, we've heard for 10 years the Fed's printing money. Well, they tried to print money, and there's a whole debate about whether that worked or not, but I can tell you who can print money, and that is private banks, because they are the ones that create it, right, when they create a loan. And if that starts to move into gear like we haven't seen in a few years on a sustainable basis, then I would say that the inflationist view of things is more than likely going to be baked in the cake, and then we will see how much resolve the Federal Reserve, the Bank of Canada, have to crush inflation. I think it's all a bunch of chest pounding. I don't think they have the stomach for it. I can't imagine the Bank of Canada crashing the housing market. I just don't believe it. I think they're, you know, I'm not, you know, there's their independence has been called into question. I think they should be, their independence should be called into question. But, you know, it should be debated. You don't have to accuse them of not being independent, but I think there needs to be an examination of what's gone on at the Bank of Canada over the past, I would say, 20 years, you know, in terms of its monetary policy and what's been driving it. And I think there has to be like some real deep questions and not just a bunch of standard stuff that you hear all the time about, you know, about, oh, you know, our 2% inflation target, you know, we were always undershooting, da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, go deeper. Why was there a 2% inflation target? What else is the bank responsible for under its mandate? What is in the legislation? How did you square that with your target? You know, there's a lot of tough questions that should be asked of the Bank of Canada. I don't see anyone well, I shouldn't say anyone. I don't see anyone right now. Conservatives are a bit distracted with their leadership convention. So it's probably not a good time to hold Canadian policymakers to the test on the Bank of Canada. But once the conservative leadership is over, you know, let's see. Is anybody willing to have this discussion about what's been happening at the Bank of Canada over the past 20 years? Right now, if you bring up the Bank of Canada, the mainstream media jump all over you like you're some kind of a quack. You know, I mean, Pierre Poilievre, he's talking about the Bank of Canada and he's dismissed for the most part in the mainstream media as being some kind of, you know, extreme, you know, person on the fringe. No. I mean, have these people not seen the inflation numbers? That, you know, I'm sorry, it's not all Vladimir Putin's fault that we have an inflation problem in Canada, right? It is not all a supply chain problem. And, you know, that is the standard establishment line in this country that there's nothing the Bank of Canada could have done about it. Well, the Bank of Canada was part of the mix that got us into this inflation problem. It is not entirely their responsibility in terms of how it got generated, but it was their responsibility to get on top of it once it materialized. And so there needs to be effective accountability held to not only for the Fed in the U.S., but also here in Canada on the Bank of Canada. But, you know, I just don't see, based off of their track records, them having the stomach to do what Paul Volcker did back in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't see it. I see them definitely having the conviction to talk a tough game. But let's see if they really have the conviction to do a tough game. Play a tough game. I doubt it. There's been nothing I have seen from the Bank of Canada in the past 20 years that leads me to believe that they're taking inflation seriously, that they've ever taken inflation seriously over the past 20 years. I think, you know, you have to go back to John Crow and maybe his successor that, you know, were really on top of it. After then, things, you know, slowly started to deteriorate, I think, you know, in terms of policy making at the institution. That's just my opinion, but I'm entitled to it, so I'll make it. And, you know, now then we need some accountability of what's been going on there. And I think the Fed needs to be held accountable as well. And, you know, I do think they try to hold the Fed accountable through the Congress. It's getting better. The questions are getting a little tougher when these bank officials go to the Congress. But I've yet to see a similar accountability here in Canada. And while we have politicians who are willing to let the Bank of Canada off the hook and a mainstream media that are willing to let the Bank of Canada off the hook, you know, we're not going to get a tough fight on inflation, which means inflation is probably going to persist if you believe that we're not heading for recession. And, you know, and really what matters is the United States and all of this. And I just don't see the Fed bringing in the hammer to crush inflation, to get it to do what it has to do to destroy demand. I do not see that happening, but I could be wrong. Maybe they'll surprise us. And then, you know, then the deflationists will have their day, because if the Fed does pick a recession, then it will be quite brutal and inflation will come down. And then the inflation story would fizzle, but we'll see if they're anywhere near having that kind of courage to do what I think has to be done to really bring inflation down. I just don't see it. I could be wrong. I think they'll tolerate 4-5% inflation for a while and hope it all kind of fizzles out. And maybe after the midterms, they'll have a rethink. Next January, we'll start getting speeches and we'll have a clearer view on what the Fed does. I mean, they're really the big gorilla in the room. The Bank of Canada is a bit of a sideshow, and I'm sure they're quite happy to kind of follow the Fed's lead in terms of just kind of soft pedaling on inflation here. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, balance, I still think it's looking good for the Canadian market. It's going to be volatile. It's going to be mixed signals. The deflation camp will have their day. They'll get the strings of data that look like their story is coming together. And I think, you know, you're going to have, inflationary trends are going to persist. And so you're going to have this conflict fighting it out in the financial markets. It's going to make for a very volatile time. We see Canadian insiders heading for the exit. We'll let you know, and that'll, you know, probably signal that the inflation story is over. But right now, we don't see that.
Ted, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, thanks for having me back.
My guest has been Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, his website, CanadianInsider.com. You can find him on Twitter at InkResearch. If you have any questions for Ted or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com and we'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.